Just as the Father who has life sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so those who feed on me will have life because of me. Words from today's Holy Gospel. Marcy, Piper, Melissa, Stephanie, Philip and Gray, Charlotte, and other immediate family and friends of Doug Wolfe. On behalf of his St. Anne family, our priest, Father David, our deacons, two of which are here, and our parish, we extend our heartfelt condolences for your great loss. We don't pretend that the loss is as great to us as to you, because you have a hole that Doug could only fill. But know that our prayers and God is with you. And also, we speak on behalf of my fellow priest, Father Patrick, Father Clark, Father Vicki, Father Francis, and the other deacons who are here in our congregation, and all those from other parishes in the diocese that Doug had things to do with. Let me speak boldly for them too, and extend to you again their heartfelt condolences. This shows how much Doug's life touched other people, and how high regard he was held by all of us. There's a story about a couple who lived many, many, many years ago in a European village. They were Jewish. The father and husband was a rabbi. He was a wonderful father and husband, and a marvelous rabbi who always, always treated his congregation with compassion and pastoral loving care. The wife was the ideal wife and mother. The two children, well, all children are wonderful, aren't they? They had an absolutely idyllic personal life, and he had a wonderful ministry as a rabbi. Now, he was at the rabbi prayer service one Friday night when something absolutely terrible happened. A tragic accident that killed both of his children. His wife was going through unimaginable grief. He knew nothing of this. She prayed to the Lord God of Israel, "How will I break this to my husband when he comes home from the Sabbath service?" He showed up. He came through the door. She went to him, greeted him with a hug and a kiss, and then said, "Husband, can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Wife, sure." Now, in those days, they spoke formally like that, husband, wife, and all that kinds of stuff. It was many, many, many years ago. And she said, "Well, some years ago, somebody gave me some jewels to keep. And I've had them for a long time now, and I've come to think of him as my own. But he's contacted me asking for the jewels back. What should I do?" And he said to her, "Wife, why ask me such a question? You know very well what you should do. Return them without hesitation." She grabbed him by the hand, took him into another room, and opened the door. And on the bed lay the two dead children. And she pointed at them and said, "Those are the jewels that I was talking about." See, that mother, through her unimaginable grief, came to a very, very profound truth. And that is that God is the creator of all life. God is creator of everything that is good. Everything that lives belongs to him. In life and death, we belong to him. In life, his very breath animates us. His light illuminates us. And in death, his embrace touches us. We come here today, and some of you can probably identify with that mother. who have an unimaginable grief and sorrow. You try to make sense out of it all. You try to look for some consolation for your grieving and your sorrow. And you look for it in the symbols of the church. You look for it in the table of God's word through sacred scripture, and in the table of sacrifice through the bread of life. Doug loved his Catholic faith. He loved to talk to people about the paschal candle, the light of Christ. He loved to talk to people about things like baptism, that Paul reminds us of Doug's baptism. And the cross, always the cross. He was always willing to debate with people on theology, but he was always willing to evangelize. We have those things to provide some comfort. But the scripture that you chose also provides comfort to us. And in the first reading, you selected the reading that is probably at, priest, would you say, 75% or more of all funerals. The reading from Wisdom. The book of Wisdom was written very, very late. Maybe as late as two generations before the birth of Jesus Christ. It's one of the first books of the Old Testament to talk about life after death. And we hear how the souls of the just, well, we could say the soul of Doug, is in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They only seem to be dead. You see, God, who is the God of life, when we return that life to him, transforms that earthly life into another kind of life. It provides a dwelling place for his people to be, like he has for Doug. The second reading you chose is rather unusual for a funeral. It actually comes from the selections for a wedding. Now, at this point, I refuse to make the joke that there's a great connection between funerals and weddings for the husband. No, I'm not going to go there. But you chose one, and in fact, you chose one which I think I'm going to be proclaiming at a 50th anniversary mass for Emma Conroy this Friday, I think. Okay. It's the reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Now, the Corinthians were a pretty rough lot. I like to think they were all retired sailors somehow. You all know I'm a Navy guy. And there were two ports there and everything else. If you want to know more about the Corinthians, come Thursday with the Women's Bible Group, because I'm teaching 1 and 2 Corinthians with them starting in September. But in this part, Paul says, you got all these gifts out there. And the Corinthians thought, well, maybe the greatest gift was the gift of tongues or prophecy and all those kind of, you know, neon light type gifts. Paul says, not that at all. Greatest gift is love. Simple love. Not a lot of fanfare. Not a lot of trumpets. Not a lot of neon signs. But love is the greatest of all. And even if you have those other gifts that everybody goes, oh, when they see them, if you don't have love, you have nothing. And I think Doug, as much as he loved to debate people and to deal with theology and to teach and evangelize, knew that that's not what the most important thing is. The most important thing is love. And how does love transform our hearts? So that we act more and more like Jesus Christ to those that we meet. Now, I selected the gospel. And even though this should sound very familiar, because we've been spending the last several weeks in year B in our Sunday lectionary with chapter 6, the Bread of Life Discourse, I thought it was very important. You see, at the basis of everything, Doug knew that the source and summit of our Christian life is the Eucharist. He showed that by his attendance at daily Mass and the reception of the Eucharist.
He showed that by spending time in adoration in a Joachim chapel. He showed that by coming to exposition and benediction. He knew that that bread of life is what sustains him. And he knew, I think, something else. Because when we come up to receive the Eucharist and say, Amen, so be it, in Hebrew, we're doing more than just acknowledging the real presence. And acknowledging the real presence is very important. We know that more and more people are starting to question the real presence. Do we really receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the second person of the Blessed Trinity? And Doug would have said, yes, we do. As important as that is, I think Doug realized that when we say amen, we're also saying, I make a commitment, a firm and 100% commitment to taking on more and more of the consciousness of Jesus Christ. That means that when he receives the host, it's not a deal that's ended by the time he walks out the church door. He needs to take Jesus Christ, that he wants to become more and more and more like in his actions, into his home, into his neighborhood, into his city, into his state, and into the world. God loved the bread of life, and he knew that it was that bread to sustain him. We gather today at this table to return Doug Rakulski to the Creator God who made him. And whenever we come to this table to take and bless and break and distribute the body and blood of Christ, we're living out the very meaning of the word Eucharist, thanksgiving and thanks. So we come here today amid our grief with thanks and gratitude for the life, although short of 49 years, of Doug Rakulski, because he lived out that bread of life, because he showed Christ to other people. We give thanks and praise to God for that blessing that was done. And the Lord of life asks each of us to put into his hand our grief and our sorrow and let him take that away and commend God to the great and gracious God who made him, who sustained him in this life, and who sustains him in the life to come. I came across a little poem that I'd like to end with. It's okay. It goes like this. Death is nothing at all. I have only slipped away into the next room. I am I, and you are you. Whatever we were to each other, that we are still. Call me by my old familiar name. Speak to me in the easy way which you always used. Put no difference into your tone. Wear no forced air of solemnity or sorrow. Laugh as we always laugh at the little jokes we enjoy together. Play, smile, think of me, pray for me. Let my name be ever the household word it was. Let it be spoken without effect, without the ghost of a shadow on it. Life beats all that it ever meant. Tis the same as it ever was. There is absolutely unbroken continuity. What is this death but an inevitable accident? Why should be out of your out of mind because I'm out of sight? I am but waiting for you, for an interval, somewhere very near, just around the corner. All is well.
Please stand.